comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
We are reminded time and time again that crime doesn't pay, that if you fight the law, you'll never win, especially if you're a member of 70s punk band The Clash. We have a weird relationship with rules as a species. As you can imagine by now, this episode of 800 Pound Gorilla is all about breaking the law. Let's start in America, the country that has the highest concentration of serial killers. Here is what Gina Yashir had to say about kidnapping and about Cleveland.
I like America. It's got the best and worst of everything. For instance, they've got some of the best kidnappers in the world. I don't know if you guys read about that guy that kept those women in a basement in their own neighborhood for 10 years. You know the guy I'm talking about? The guy in Cleveland. I mean, to be honest, I've been to Cleveland. I think I would have preferred the basement. But Cleveland is shit. We kept them in a basement in their own neighborhood for 10 years. Like, they all got out, obviously. They all wrote books. And one of the women was being interviewed for her book. And this is how close she was to her family all that time. She was talking about how from the basement, she could hear when her family were barbecuing, right? And the interviewer was like, oh my God, that's just horrible. Oh my God. And I'm like, Mr. Interviewer, you've missed the point here. This woman was missing. And her family were barbecuing. Now, I'm not from America, so I do not know their missing family member etiquette. How long is it before you start barbecuing again? It's a difficult question. It's like, Amanda is missing. We love her and we want her home. But these ribs ain't gonna cut themselves. Miracle!
I mean, who doesn't love meat, Gina? Do you know what Americans also love? Drinking. Although you shouldn't drink and drive, Kathleen Madison gives her advice on when you get caught doing both.
You guys have been a lot of fun. If you drank and you're gonna drive, focus. Don't be playing with your phone. I am not advocating drinking and driving. I'm not. Drinking and driving is really bad, and it's really bad. I never thought about this, but I have a friend who he told me to say was a very handsome friend, Rick, in Denver. He got a DUI, and I never thought about this until he told me what happens. Now, when you get taken to jail, they take all your stuff. That includes your phone, and they lock it all in a drawer. Then they come back to your cell and tell you you're now allowed to make one phone call. Well, that's a problem, because you just locked my brain in a drawer. I don't know anybody's phone numbers by heart anymore. I thought, seriously, I don't know what would you do? I know the number of the house I grew up in. I could call that family and hope that they were really nice people. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm in so much trouble. I know you guys are kind of busy in Ferguson. Do you have $2,800? And then I thought, seriously, I said, really? They wouldn't even look at your phone? He goes, Kathleen, you don't get it. No. No. I go, well, I think that's being stringent. You're not a murderer. You're not a rapist. You're Drunky the Clown. You've been captured. You can't hurt anybody. They won't even show you your contacts. No. And I thought, well, especially if I'd have been drinking, that's when my jackass behavior would kick in. And I say, okay, I'm ready for my call. And I'd let them bring me the phone. And my one call, I would call 911 from the cell. Hello? Oh, yes, this is absolutely an emergency. Well, I have been kidnapped. That's what's going on here. I was abducted by two men in matching outfits. And I was thrown into what I can only surmise right now is some sort of sex dungeon. No, I'm not laughing. No, I'm not laughing. My location? Well, that actually is kind of funny. If you would just glance down the hall. All right, you guys, thank you so much. I've had a great time. Thank you for coming out. We appreciate it. Lou, too. Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you.
FUBAR Radio presents
Ian Boldsworth.
We're joined by Lawrence Fox, by the way. Hello, sir.
James is my dad. He was a big cheese. Now he sort of takes it easy. And he works still, but he's not doing loads of gear and having a massive, okay, great time.
Is your brother Famous Fox? Is it Michael J?
Michael J is my brother. And Jamie.
Is Edward Fox one? Did I get Edward Fox
Edward
right?
Edward Fox is right. Yeah, he's my uncle. Fox. Amelia Fox, she is my cousin.
In that case, then, what I'm saying about all this, like, Illuminati and hidden things, yeah, and all that, this family is exactly that.
You'll look out the window later on and you'll just see this guy dressed in a full monk's habit, beating himself with some barbed wire.
Yeah, and then when window cleaning things will come up and it'll be James Fox. What do you mean you fucking don't know who I am?
No, it'll just come up and go, "You're cancelled."
Ian Boldsworth. Every Monday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fifth episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about crime and other misbehaviours. Who didn't want to be a police officer when they were growing up? Eating donuts, fighting crime, and locking up the bad guys. Eating donuts, driving around in a police car, and rushing through traffic. Did I mention the donuts? In America, apparently, many police officers sell off their old cars to the public. But Kevin McCaffrey isn't a fan of the people that buy them.
Miss a lot of things about Chicago. I miss driving. I live in New York now, and you don't really drive much there. But as I was coming here, I was reminded of one thing I definitely do not miss about driving. I hate those people who drive cars that look like cop cars, but are not cop cars. If you have one of those cars, congratulations, you're an asshole. You're ruining everyone's speeding. Stop doing that. You're ruining it. Also, if you have that car, you only have it to be an asshole. No one likes that style of car the best. No one saves up all their money and goes to a dealership like, actually, I'm only interested in the all-white 2002 Crown Victoria. That's the only thing. Extra long antenna, no bumper stickers, shady tinted windows for no reason. Also, I should say, if we have any police officers in the crowd tonight, first of all, thank you for your service. Secondly, y'all should know that when you do that thing when you park on the median on the highway, that makes everyone go the speed limit for 5 seconds. This is my impression of when you see the cop on the median. Oh, shit. Back to normal. That visual joke's going to play great on the album. But it doesn't make things safer, right? If anything, it makes things less safe because you see all the brake lights go on for no reason. You're like, oh my God, did a child run onto the highway? Oh no, we're just pretending for this guy. Officer safety pants for 5 seconds.
People often buy dogs for security reasons, although every dog has its weakness. John Heffron's dogs are no different.
Here's exactly how you rob my house, even though I have two trained German Shepherds. Come through my front door with a running vacuum. You be invisible, they won't even know you're there. I wanted to do a little drill to see what would happen if I was to die in front of my dogs. I just wanted to do a little, like, if somebody knocked me out or if I fell and died, I wanted to see if they, like, whimper or if they try to keep my body warm or something until help arrives. Here's the answer. I fall down, and I'm laying there, and I go, oh, I'm dead, just to sell it. Here's the answer. Margaret, my youngest shepherd, she brought me a tennis ball. And then when my dead body didn't grab it, she rolled it a little bit closer to me, which was, you know. And then the other one stepped right over me. Who's the beta male now? I want to start acting more like dogs. I think dogs have the greatest attitude. Here's why. Your dogs are focused. Whatever your dog is doing, that's what the dog is doing, and that's what the dog is thinking about. They are present. They're not thinking about the past. They're like, I don't know, I just never knew my dad, and I think sometimes like that. Right? They're not thinking, if your dog's digging a hole, they're not going, do we know what we're going to do when we're done? Have we decided yet? Because I don't know, I might bail. I just might dig this, and I might just call it a day. I don't know. Right? Like, I can call Margaret. I'll open up the door, and I'll just open it. I'll just say her name once. I'll just go, Margaret. She'll come running in from outside. Her tail will just be going crazy. Like, oh, my God, you just said my name. You just said my name. Something awesome is about to happen to me. Wouldn't that be great if that was your attitude? I don't know about you, but I hear my name. I'm like, hi. Who told you my name? Why do you keep using it?
Speaking of animals, Andrew Schultz is a man of the city. Pigeons and rats are all that he knows. So imagine his surprise when he realized other animals existed.
Do we have New Yorkers here? Usually there's New Yorkers in this club. All right, this fucking... Let me tell you something, Texas, about what it's like. Here's the thing. This thing, when you grow up in New York, people your whole life tell you this shit. They go, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Nope. Okay? Whoever said that shit, he ain't go anywhere, okay? He made a hypothesis about anywhere. I remember the first time I left New York, I found out there were animals. Nobody mentioned that in public school, that we had fucking animals. I thought it went rat, pigeon, zoo. I thought that's how animals work. I thought we collected the animals, put them in a zoo, charge admission. I go to fucking Long Island, I see this animal called a possum. Do you guys know what that is? And you're okay with this just walking around? A fucking 6-foot mutant rat. We're okay with that. That's okay. I thought I saw the leader of the Ninja Turtles when I saw that shit. Fucking house. Splinter, what the fuck are you doing outside the city?
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
The most beautiful person in existence.
It's Glyn Fussell.
Hello, Callum.
I once invited a guy over, and I specifically invited him over for sex. I was very honest and upfront about why I was inviting him over.
Which is political, it's very core.
Turned out he was a Tory, and he came over and literally
always asked that,
just
by the way.
Sat on my bed and talked about politics. There was no sex, and then he left, and I was like, I don't understand what's happened.
I feel like I've been tricked.
that's what the Tories do. Anything for a vote. Anything for a vote. Fucking vote.
Yeah, don't let them trick you on Grindr.
Poison Grindr. I mean, that's...
Harriet Rose.
Will I Am is joining us on FUBAR Radio right now.
There's things that I've done before that I didn't release. Like a piece of content that I did with Miley Cyrus that was heavy, and we decided not to put it out.
What do you do with that kind of stuff? Do you hold it in a bank, like, I might put this out one day, or is it like, never again, put it away, we won't see this again?
For the Miley Cyrus one, we got rid of it. It was just too heavy.
You just know, though, don't you?
This one in particular, the Black Eyed Peas one, I know in my heart that it has to come out.
Joey Page.
I'm very excited to welcome Highly Suspect.
Hello.
Into the studio.
Yeah.
Hey,
what's
guys.
Up? Yeah. Yeah, we have what we like to call pre-show poops. It's when you get really juiced up and then all of a sudden you have to poop right before the show.
Is that on your rider? We must have four vehicles available.
We have pre-show. Four toilets backstage.
Getting excited for the show, it definitely gets you pumped.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fifth episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about being naughty. When it comes to advertising, we want to buy exactly what's being shown, but brand investor wants to know why tequila adverts keep describing themselves as smooth.
I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but tequila is trying to convince everybody that tequila is smooth now. Every commercial I see for tequila is telling me how smooth it is. It goes down smooth. So smooth. I heard that enough. I was like, sweet. They must have fixed it. So next time I was out, I tried some. They haven't done anything to the tequila. It's the same terrible thing. It's awful. You shouldn't legally be allowed to tell people that tequila is smooth. Tequila is the least smooth drink that you can drink. In my opinion. That's where there's so many distractions when you drink tequila. You never just take a drink of tequila like you do anything else on earth. No, you gotta do all this other stuff. You gotta lick this and suck that. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. What are you trying to hide, tequila? Every commercial for tequila starts the exact same way. They got a cool actor who drinks tequila at the beginning of the commercial, and then smooth things happen to him throughout the rest of the commercial. What they're implying there is that smooth things happen after you drink tequila. Huh. Nothing smooth has ever happened to anybody after they've been out drinking. Have you ever been out drinking tequila one night and you wake up the next morning and you can't remember what happened? So you ask your friends what happened and they describe your behavior from the night before as smooth? It's never happened. No one's ever like, dude, what happened after 10? I don't remember anything after 10 o'clock. Like, oh, man. I've never seen you like that before. I don't even know what to, you were just so smooth. You were so articulate. You were very respectful to all the young ladies. You peed in all the legal places. Never seen you do that sober. Impressive. They're wearing $3,000 suits to drink tequila in those commercials. You don't wear a $3,000 suit if you know you're going to be drinking tequila. You should wear something more practical for that occasion. I don't know what that is. Plastic probably be the best thing. I think that all tequila should come with a 99-cent gas station poncho. I think that's just a good idea. I think that's just a good business idea. That's actually a business I've tried to get started in California, but I can't find any Republicans to help me get my business started.
Speaking of drinks, DJ Demers talks about drinking in bars full of weirdos.
Now, I like going out to bars a lot. I drink a lot. I don't want to say I have a drinking problem. You know, you don't want to throw that around. But, you know, I love it, and I'll do it every day for the rest of my life. But, but I like to drink at bars and stuff. People weird me out. I like people generally, but I don't really trust them. So what I do is I put, like, if I'm hanging out at a bar, I'll put, like, a napkin on top of my drink or, like, a coaster. You guys know this movie, right? You put it there, you turn around, you talk to somebody, you look back, coaster's still there. Awesome. Nobody's tampered with your drink. Smart move. But what I'm noticing a lot of people doing is they're, like, putting, like, a napkin on their drink, and then they're like, going outside for a cigarette or going to the bathroom. Yeah, the effectiveness of this technique is greatly diminished when you're giving the creeps 5 to 10 minutes to work with, you know? You're going to figure out your little Fort Knox contraption in that amount of time. They're never going to be like, okay, they left their drink unattended. Okay, I'll remove the napkin, put this roofie in, and Guess I'll eat the napkin now. I don't know. Always do that. No, it's going to end badly. Also, guys, don't ever do this. I've made this mistake. If a girl leaves her drink unattended without, like, a coaster on it, do not put one on for her. That does not put their mind at ease at all. They get back in. They're like, I don't remember putting a coaster on my drink. Like, oh, yeah, no, I put it on for you. A lot of weirdos in here.
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. Joined now by Kadeem Ramsey. So we're talking about Top Boy, which Nat's a bit obsessed with. And you come in with branded Top Boy gear. Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it looks good.
I just feel like wearing it
today.
Nice
hoodie.
The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's really great.
No, that's not only it. And I've been watching.
Are you going for your Top Boy tattoo after you've done this interview? Right across your forehead.
I'm scared of tattoos.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Are you?
I don't want to be getting a tattoo and the guy says, whoops, that's one thing I don't want to hear.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi, and I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah,
I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi, he goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, and then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then the taxi driver said, you know what they say, satire is the lowest form of wit.
Joey Page.
Jim Sturgis joins us in the studio. Do you find when you've been, like, it's obviously rehearsals and filming and that takes a real long time, do you sometimes find the traits of these characters seeping into your life?
There was a film I did called London Fields where I was covered in tattoos. I was playing like a really unpleasant character in that film and it started to rub off on me and I was sort of walking around thinking I was probably a lot harder than I am in real life and someone nearly ran me over in a car and I was a little too quick to fucking offer him out.
I come out of this studio on a Wednesday going, I'm well good at this, and then it's like, I might get out of my way, I'm getting on the bus.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fifth episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about crime and other misbehaviours. Although marijuana is now legal in some American states, Ngayo Belem talks about why people go to festivals based around the drug compared to other substances.
I do a lot of marijuana things. Right? My life is hella marijuana. I do a lot of marijuana things. But I do. I travel all around. I do weed shit, man. I've been 30 years in the weed game. Like, I've been to the Seattle Hemp Fest, the Portland Hemp Sock, the Boise Hemp Fest, Missoula Hemp Fest, Madison Hemp Fest, the HempCon, the KushCon, the THC Expo, the International Cannabis and Hemp Exhibition, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, the Oregon Regular Marijuana Business Conference, the International Cannabis Business Conference was in Berlin, Barcelona, Vancouver, Portland, and San Francisco. There's the High Times Cannabis Cup, San Francisco, Detroit, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, Amsterdam, Jamaica. There's a Secret Cannabis Cup in Switzerland, Barcelona, Denver, Santa Cruz. I throw the occasional cannabis comedy festival, and it occurs to me that weed is the only federally illegal drug that people throw festivals for. Right? Right. Nobody ever goes to Meth Fest.
Hey, welcome to Meth Fest! Who stole the fucking sound system?
Thank you all very much. My name's Ngayo Belem. I want to say
Food.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by Post Malone.
Hi. First time I went to Wetherspoons, I was in Wolverhampton. It was like the first time I bought my legal beer. It was awesome.
I'm so sorry that was your first.
No, listen, I love it. It's emblazoned in my mind.
So you've kind of got like a deep connection with Wetherspoons.
Wetherspoons is actually my life.
Was it inspiration for the album?
Yeah. I wrote it all at a Wetherspoons.
Have you eaten at a Wetherspoons?
No, I've never eaten there.
Okay.
Just drank. So you like dinner from Wetherspoons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking shit.
Well, no, I am a little bit. It's shit.
But it's still good. Well, let's go.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Kabaka Pyramid is our third and final guest of the day.
I just did my favourite thing for the first time on Sunday. I went to the Arsenal Tottenham game.
Oh, yes! Wait, Guna as well!
Guna!
Of course,
okay.
Guna!
Okay.
I had no doubt!
Okay.
I had no doubt!
I saw the red and I was like...
Tottenham?
This white guy was sitting on beside us and he's like, everybody just excited and the trio were just hugging each other.
Honestly, I think only two things can get you doing that. Yeah. Music and football.
Exactly. Yeah, for real. It brings people together.
Races,
everything. Yeah,
absolutely. Sure.
Callum McSwiggan.
Today I am joined by the absolute legends from Pussy Palace. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
You have a lot of people say, you know, oh, we have LGBT plus spaces, everything's fine, everyone's included. But I don't feel like they are, and I don't feel like they are inclusive enough.
It's like you're walking around holding your breath. And it was only until I went to Pussy Palace that I could actually like, oh, this is what breathing feels like.
Yeah.
But I wasn't umming and ahhing about what I would dress, how I was presenting, and like what ramifications that would have for me.
Yeah, the evolution of Pussy Palace has really created that, like, oh, there's community.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fifth episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about breaking the rules. Previously on the show, we talked about kidnapping, police, marijuana, and drink driving. But what if you're hating on a particular type of person? DJ Demers shares his feelings on people who vape.
So yeah, so I'm recently single and I'm 30. I'm 30 years old and single at 30 is it's a weird because things have changed. You know, I was in a relationship for a few years. I actually recently just got I went and got new hearing aids, right? Which is crazy when you get new hearing aids. Everything's so different. We've all been there, and and I got this new device with my hearing aids. It's called a Roger pen. And the way it works is it looks like a pen, a bit bigger. It's kind of like silver. And it's got a little microphone on the end of it. And the way it works is if you're in a really loud environment, you can like kind of like put it close to the person. It'll pick up their voice and kind of drown out the surrounding noise. Really cool invention. But I said to my audiologist, I said, when do you actually envision me using this device? And he said, well, let's say like you're at like a nightclub. And you're talking to a girl and you're having a hard time hearing her. Just kind of like hold it close to her face. Yeah, I see that going very well for sure. Yeah. Can you imagine just at a nightclub? Hey, how's it going? Yeah, just talking to the pen. I'm a journalist. And he's like, well, you don't have to say it's like a pen. You don't even have to say it's like a microphone. You could come up with something cooler. Like you could say it's like a e-cigarette, like a vape. Yeah, that's way better. You know how the ladies are going wild for those guys who vape, right? Honestly, on the list of disabilities, I'd rather be a guy with hearing aids than a guy who vapes, you know? And what am I supposed to do if she is into vaping? Can you imagine? Just like, oh, and she's like, cool, is that a vape? Can I have some? No! My vape. Wow, this guy vapes and he's an asshole? What a catch.
Bar Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio by Michael O'Hare.
He's the man from Uncle.
I thought, bloody hell, if there was ever a scandal, they'd say Uncle Fucker. But, you know, someone's telling their story, but I'm actually quite well behaved, and my career never got to that level.
But it's also, you never fucked your uncle.
I never fucked my uncle, and I want that to go on the record. Can we have that as
a little jingle?
I absolutely did. 100%
didn't. Yeah, but did he
fuck you? Anyway, so
it's a very different thing, isn't it?
We're just joined in the studio by Ingrid Oliver, and we're discussing fart jokes. Favourite fart jokes. If you've got any favourite fart jokes, by all means, write in to...
I've been a fan. I'll
hashtag, I've got a fart for you.
Yeah, considering I hate them, well, I'm really talking about them.
I really hate acknowledging the owner.
So I saw a filmed insert with the band McFly, and they're in like a limo or something chatting. And one of them farted, it just really made me laugh.
No.
I don't like a cartoon fart thing. I like a fart joke where it appears like someone shat themselves or something.
Listen to Nick Helm and
Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio by good old Jack.
My name's Jack Barry.
Because The Meg is coming out, isn't it?
Yes.
Which is the film about the giant shark. It's got the best line of any film I think ever made. Yeah. Jason Statham swimming around in his little, like a one-man submarine. And a 50-foot megalodon swims over him, and he just goes, "It's a megalodon." Absolutely outstanding work there, Steve. And we're joined in the studio now by my friend and yours, Mr. Tom Meaton.
Hello, listeners.
I don't think there's any doubt that everyone in this room has.
The masters.
And I like to think of this show as a masterclass.
You're right in that way. And of course, we know that making people laugh is very hard.
The worst gig I ever had was a corporate gig for a bank, and it went so badly. And there was one point I remember having an out-of-body experience, and I was just about to get down to my pants, right? And... the guy went, You're disgusting!
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and the Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club
from 12 PM.
You're listening to Foobar Radio.
Foobar Radio.
Comedy with 800-pound gorilla on Foobar Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fifth episode of 800-pound gorilla on Foobar Radio. When it comes to the marijuana lifestyle, some people are living the dream. And Ngaio Bilim has something to say about that.
I'm a connoisseur. Like, I get to judge weed and shit, right? I've been a judge of like 4 High Times Cups. I'm doing my 4th or 5th Emerald Cup this year, right? I'm a judge. The Emerald Cup, if you don't know the Emerald Cup, some of you know. The Emerald Cup is the largest organic cannabis competition probably in the world. Like, all the best growers in California, and there's hundreds of them, grow their best shit, and they turn it in, and we fucking smoke it, right? Last year, we had to smoke 500 different kinds of weed in 3 weeks. 3 weeks is hard work. It's a commitment. It's a priority. You turn shit down. No, I can't go to your wedding. I have to smoke all this weed for my job. Right? Because it's a competition. It's not just like, oh, I got to join or whatever. You got to fucking look at it and smell it and take note, listen to it and shit. You know what I mean? Right? You got to make a face. You got to make a face when you smoke it, right? Like. I think that's a Southern Humboldt train wreck from an Eastern facing mountain. Picked under a full moon right before a thunderstorm by a man with one leg. He's got one leg. You can tell because the flavor is a little unbalanced. You mean it's kind of hoppy, which is really more of a beer note, but it's appropriate in this situation. Right? Weed has joined the upscale fancy pants tasting notes drug brigade. Right? Not all drugs have tasting notes. Nobody's fucking doing meth like, Modesto. Like, no. Like, they fucking... I mean, there's probably one guy, but he's gonna die any minute. But I'm saying, like... Right, wine is the OG. Wine is the OG tasting notes drug, right? You get your glass of wine, you're very fancy in your pants. Oh, Oh, this delightful Merlot has notes of oak and leather, and I detect a subtle hint of cherries and feces in the base, I believe. This is really earthy. Right? Coffee's joined the brigade. Coffee just used to be coffee. No, no, no. This Sumatran blend tastes of monsoon season with a hint of monitor lizard and a little Komodo dragon. Like, they just make crazy shit up. This single farm Ethiopian offering tastes of drought and colonial imperialization. And fucked up globalization policies. So you can get your privileged ass out of bed and spend $4 for hot water and beans.
Fubar Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. KSI and Randolph. Are you there, KSI?
Yo, what's up?
So, why are you having fights with people?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got to show that I'm the best boxing YouTuber on YouTube.
What is happening in Brixton?
So we got a show. We got, like, our, you know, London show.
And what happens in that? Is that all singing and rapping, or is that a bit of fighting and all chucked in for good fun?
I mean, if you punched me, nothing would happen, though. I'd just be like, did a fly hit me, or... I don't know.
Look at this. I reckon if I keep pushing their buttons in the right way, they'll start fighting each other right now. That'd be all right, isn't it? We're joined by Katie Manning now in the studio. You nearly fell off your chair.
I'm very physical, if you know what I mean. I get very excited. Yeah. And for a woman of my age, that's quite scary.
How old are you? 38-ish?
Oh, yeah, darling.
Around 38.
I could be your grandma, darling, because I'm 72.
Why could you not be my girlfriend?
Yeah, do you not want to be...
Do you like an older woman, darling?
I like anyone.
Who says yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. No, I'm like, I wouldn't have any...
I just missed my mouth then. That was... Maybe you should not have me.
That's a good point, actually, isn't it? Phaser is now sat opposite me.
We're all puppets, but I like to pull my own strings.
Yeah, no, I don't think we are all puppets, though.
In the entertainment, you know, like...
Do you really think like
Punch and Judy type thing.
Do you think? I'm not a puppet.
You can be your own puppet.
I'm not a puppet.
You're not a puppet.
What are you? You are actually a puppet. So you had a guess you've been made into a puppet. He has actually been made into a puppet, haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm...
It wasn't like a voodoo puppet or nothing like that.
I have a big collection of voodoo dolls at home.
No.
And really, I've been pulling out your teeth recently in them, and you have been going to the dentist. So
I wouldn't be
there.
Surprised if you did have a load of... That actually wouldn't have shocked me. We're joined now by Alex Fox.
I'm not a fan of 50 Shades. Those books are not well loved by many people on the responsible fetish community scene because they depict in many ways a problematic dynamic. Least exciting erotic series that I've seen in a while. I virtually fell asleep watching those films. But
that can
also
happen after a while.
True. If I'm late for anything, it's usually I've had a wank falling asleep. A fap and a nap, as I like to call it.
Every Monday, Ian Molesworth, from 4 p.m.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Comedy with 800-pound gorilla on Fubar Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fifth episode of 800-pound gorilla on Fubar Radio. Today's show is all about breaking the rules. If you're like Kevin McCaffrey, you've certainly wanted to get drunk at work at least once.
I like this job very much. It's very nice. I get to drink during it. That's cool. Some places will fire you for that. Get it for free. That's cool. I do like drinking. I can't drink how I used to. I keep trying. Really, I can't recover how I used to. That's the difference. You can still do the first part. When I was in college, I could not get hungover, no matter how hard I was trying. Now I'm in my 30s. I'll get hungover if I, like, eat Wendy's. No drinking necessary. If I have 2 junior bacon cheeseburgers in the same night, I'll wake up the next morning like, what the fuck? What happened to me last night? You look on the ground. 2 junior bacons? 2 on a school night, McCaffrey? Can't keep living like a rock star. I grow up. I black out too much, which is to say ever. There's no okay amount. It's not like, yeah, black out twice a week, like a grown-up, you know? Here's a real bummer with blacking out. You never black out drunk and then wake up the next day to find that while you were blacked out, you did something productive. That's never the surprise. You never black out drunk and then wake up the next day like, oh my God, I blacked out and did all the laundry. Did I fix the deck last night? messed up. Did I get? I did 12 shots of tequila and then just paid off my student loans. Wow. Typical McCaffrey move.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
Mini Mentions, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Can I get you to just do a little... Can you just advertise the show quickly for us?
Joe Page is kind of tight.
Joe Page is my real name. I've added a showbiz Y.
That's right. Why would you do that? Joe Page?
Too late.
I think you should drop the Y.
Yeah.
Joe Page suits the mustache, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
Joe Page.
Turn the page, sick. Joe.
And the suit. Yeah, I think Joe, man.
Joe Page!
I've already done...
Joe Page.
Made a lot of posters with Joey Page on.
Hey, this is Michael from Mini Mentions, and you're listening to Joe Page. Page on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday, 2 p.m.
Yeah. I'm very excited to be talking to Kelsey and Nick from Local Natives. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Letterman was fun. I had an interesting situation at the end of our set. He's like, oh, where are you guys from? And here, I'll go over here so like it makes sense. So I was just like, Silver Lake! He's like, cool, thanks. And then he leaves.
Maybe to make you feel better, we'll do the reverse. So I'm going to get you to ask me where I'm from.
Yeah, where are you from?
Bexley Heath! Right. You got to represent where you're from.
Yeah.
John Grant, welcome to the
Hello.
Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joey.
Do you feel you are appreciated enough in the music business? You're like a genius in music, so...
Thank you for the fantastic compliments. I don't feel particularly great at what I do, so it's always nice to hear that. I don't know, I don't feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion about that. I think I'm probably getting what I can handle. I wonder if I would be able to take the kind of attention that some people get.
Band of Skulls, welcome into...
Thank you very much.
Russell and Emma, how are you doing? I'm sure you were far too busy to be aware of this, but it was pancake day. How are your pancaking skills? Are you any good at making them? Are you any good at flipping them?
I do a good American pancake.
Baking soda?
Dad's recipe. It's amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the secret, though, isn't it, to make them rise?
In the fridge for a bit, just to chill.
That's an extra thing that will help me next time I make them.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the fifth episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about crime. When you get to a certain age, you should have some words of wisdom to give to younger generations. Here are Greg Warren's words, especially while travelling in certain weather conditions.
Okay, at 48, I feel like I should have some advice. And I got nothing so far. I got two things. These are my best two things. Number one, you go to the restaurant, the waitress pronounces the L in salmon. It's not going to be a good meal. You're not going to enjoy yourself. Right? How would you like your salmon prepared? Not here. I can assure you that. Let me have a look at the tilapia. This is my second piece of advice. This is actually pretty good, okay? Listen up. Somebody is going to be mean to you in the next 48 hours. That is the way the world works. And your natural reaction is going to be mean right back at them. It doesn't work. It's not effective. They see it coming. Here's what you do next time. Act stupid. Stupid frustrates people. It does. If you're already stupid, you be yourself. Like, that's... It'll come naturally. You're going to be fine. You're going to be good at this. I did this. I was at the airport, and it was foggy that day. And I guess the pilots could not see through the fog, so no flights were taken off because of the fog. So, like, after about an hour, I went up to the gate attendant. I said, hey, I was just wondering, what time do you think the flight might take off? She goes, it says 4 o'clock on the monitor. I'm like, yeah, all right, but what time do you think the flight might take off? She goes, it says 4 o'clock on the monitor. I go, yeah, but it also said 1, then 1:30, then 2, then 2:30. The monitor is an habitual liar. Like, she goes, it says 4 o'clock on the monitor. I go, yeah, you mentioned that. I go, can I ask you a question? She goes, yeah. I go, is it true that this whole airport is shut down because of a frog? She just stared at me. She goes, what? I go, I heard these two business guys talking on their cell phones, and they said that the whole airport was shut down because of one frog. I mean, can't you guys just move the frog? She looked at me, she goes, "Bog." I go, "What?" She goes, "Bog." I go, "Oh!" And I walked away, all right? I won. Yeah, I won. You know how mad she was? I mean, she can't yell at me because I'm stupid, right? Like, she probably went home and yelled at her husband for like 4 hours. These idiots that I work with, they don't know the difference between a fog and a frog. All right, honey, just take it easy. You take it easy, Frank. Do you have fog, frog discrepancies in your child? No, you don't. You don't. You don't. I went to college. I did. I did that to her. I got to her. I know I got to her. For the rest of her life, she will remember that. She'll never be at a party where somebody walks in and goes, "Yeah, my job has been pretty tough." It's really tough, isn't it? Well, I have bugs and frogs in my big job. I got her.
Sticking to traveling, Gina Yashir tells us how she feels about sleeping in certain hotel rooms.
I love travelling. Certain parts of travelling I don't like. I don't like staying in lots of different hotels. I'm very OCD. Like, super OCD. Like some people are like, "Oh, staying in lovely posh hotels all around the world." For me, I'm like, I'm sleeping on a bed that 7,000 people have slept on. Like, I travel with my own bed sheets, pillow and pillowcase, special slippers that I only wear in hotel rooms. I don't wear them in my own house because I don't want hotel carpet to contaminate my carpet. I don't even use their towels. Their towels are a pathway from my bed to the bathroom on the floor. I put the towels on the floor and I walk along the towels. So if you guys follow me on Facebook, Instagram, you know that a couple of weeks ago I posted a picture of a towel that I got in the Premier Inn. Right? Yeah, that's how I roll. I'm living large, Premier Inn, yeah. They gave me this towel and a suspicious brown mark. Yeah, they look very much like a skid mark. So I posted it on my Instagram to Premier Inn. And I was like, "Look at this, Premier Inn. This is why I don't use your towels. And I know you didn't give this shit to Lenny Henry." I touch nothing in a hotel room. I've seen too many of those TV shows where they go, "We went into a hotel room and we took a swab off the mattress and we found black skin, feces and semen from a giraffe." I touch nothing. And my fans know about my OCD, so they send me stuff on Facebook and stuff to torture me. Like, one woman a while back sent me a video of an investigation that they'd done in America. American TV company did this investigation. They put a hidden camera in the bathroom of this hotel to see how well the maids clean the hotel. They left the camera there, and the maid comes in with her one cloth. She cleans the mirror. She cleans down the side. She cleans the toilet seat. She lifts up the toilet seat. She cleans round the rim of the toilet. And then she picks up the drinking glasses. Yes, the drinking glasses, and cleans out the inside of the drinking glasses with the same cloth. That's why I don't touch shit in a hotel room. When I go to the hotel room, I clean down everything. I have my wipes, I wipe down the door handles, I wipe the light switches, the phone. I don't touch anything. People like to traumatize me with their stories. Someone else told me the story of in certain poorer countries, toothbrushes are a bit of a luxury. So sometimes when the maid is cleaning your room and she sees a toothbrush lying there, they'll be like, "Oh, I haven't brushed my teeth in a month. Let's give this a go." Yeah, and they use your toothbrush. Now, when I heard that story, I did not sleep for 3 days. Because I'd just come off a 2-month tour of Asia. And there was one particular night in China, I was like, "Oh, I didn't have chow mein today. Why does my toothbrush taste like chow mein?" I have to now lock my toothbrush in my safe with my passport and my cash. Who knew that Oral-B would be more valuable than money? I don't touch nothing in the hotel room. I don't even touch the TV remote control. I don't touch it. It's the filthiest part of the room, people. The TV remote, I wrap it in a shower cap. That's what I do. I tell you why, because a very large percentage of people that stay in a hotel and motel are single men traveling alone. Yeah, and what do single men do when they're alone, all alone in a hotel room? What do you do, Liam, when you're all alone? Look at me, Liam, don't lie. What do you do when you're all alone in a hotel room with no wifey, you and your 10 chubby little fingers alone? You know what you're doing, Liam. You're watching porn and you're having a wank. That's right, you're jerking off, as the Americans say, and you're holding your penis in one hand and the remote control in the other. Now, I don't know whether it's ambidextrous. I don't know. Do you like... Aah! I don't know, Liam, but I'll tell you what I do know. I'm not going to become the first woman in the world to become pregnant from a remote control. Now, some of you are looking at me funny. I'm not saying I put them inside me. But accidents do happen, that's all I'm saying. My mum would be so happy if I got pregnant from a remote control anyway. My mum would be like, oh, look at my little remote control grandchild, look at that. You know what? I am going to call you Netflix. Listen, you guys have been amazing. Brixton Academy. Yes, Brixton.
Well, thanks for that, Gina. And now, from remote control babies called Netflix to people with face tattoos. A great transition there, I know. Dan St. Germain talks about people having face tattoos and why you should leave them be.
This happened to me recently. A guy with a face tattoo spat on my car. Yeah. And when a guy with a face tattoo spits on your car, well, I mean, that's just something he gets to do. Normal guy spits on your car, you're like, hey, asshole, what the fuck? Guy with a face tattoo spits on your car, you're like, thank you so much for not shooting me. I really appreciate it. You really helped me out on that one. I've gotten pulled over 3 times, but I've never gotten a ticket, which is cool if you're a hot girl. But that means that every time a cop's pulled me over, he's looked into the window and gone, you know, he really doesn't need this right now. I'm not going to give him a ticket, but I'm going to give him a soup and a winter coat. So I bought a Honda Civic, which I believe is Japanese for crushing pussy. Boom! Sorry. I'm not really an observant guy. As I was walking back to my Honda Civic, instead of getting into my car, I got into the car parked directly next to mine. And I realized this because when I looked in the back seat, there was a high school couple smoking weed. And they were terrified. It was like the beginning of Harry and the Hendersons. They looked at me and were like, ah! And I'm like, bah! I'm in an animal noise, not even a real person noise. And they go, who are you? And I go, it's not my car, which didn't make anyone feel better. That's up there with like, how do I operate this knife? And they're like, what? I'm like, it's not my car. And then the switch flipped and they're like, oh, he's more afraid of us than we are of him. And I'm like, thanks for understanding. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag every day's a journey. But I understand why they were freaked out, because I look like something that magically appears to you when you're high, you know? And you don't know whether we're going to murder everyone or grant everyone wishes. You're not really sure how that one's going to end. I like country music, but sometimes country music gets you to sing along with shit you're morally opposed to. We're like, woke up this morning feeling fine. You're like, all right, gonna climb me a mountain. You're like, nice. As long as those blacks use a different water fountain. You're like, what the fuck was that shit? That guy just rhymed me into being racist. And then every other country song is the guy singing about what happened to him at the present time that he wrote that song. It's like, woke up this morning, put on my shoes, put on my pants, which is hard because my shoes are already on. I sat in a chair, because that's where you sit. I drink water. I breathe through my mouth. I breathe through my nose, because there's water in my mouth. God bless the troops. Like, fuck you for bringing the troops into this, because you don't know how to properly use a metaphor, you hickory smoke piece of shit.
We are getting to the end of the show, so we'll leave Dimitri Martin to give us a final word about cremation. A great note to end on.
If you get cremated, is it all or nothing? You know, can you get just parts of yourself cremated? What does he want? Says, okay, he wants to be cremated just from the waist down. Anything else? Yeah, open casket. He's got his torso at the one end, then the ashes, and they lead to a lamp. And he's dressed as a genie. Oh, good for him. That's cool. He's having some fun with it. If I got cremated, I wouldn't have him put me into an urn. I would do something more creative. I would have him put me into an hourglass. Because then I could still participate, you know? My grandkids are playing a board game or something. But hey, that's my grandfather on the mantle. Grab that. He's like 7 minutes. Flip him over. Come on. Bonus round, Grandpa. Come on. Scattergories. Here we go. I park my car, I was in the supermarket parking lot, park my car, I get out of the car, this guy says, Dimitri. I said, yeah. He said, hey, could I be in one of your jokes? I said, sure. How about this one? He was like, well, what does it entail? What's the joke? I was like, that's pretty much it. He said, no thanks, I think I'm cool now. Could I be in like a later joke maybe? I said, no. Based on how this one went, I don't think you'll be coming back. And he was pissed, man. Those fictional people can be very moody. Are sheep pubes also wool? How much of my turtleneck is pubes? I don't know if I'm going to wear that thing anymore. Pubes all over my body. Ew. Sheep love it. That's probably why they make that noise. They just see us wearing their pubes. They're like... Bah. Bah. I wear my pubes. I was in a jewelry store. They had a necklace for sale. In cursive writing, it said Diane in gold. And I went up to the sales lady and I said, you know, if you had one that said not Diane, you'd have a bigger market for that necklace. You could sell more of those. Yeah. And then I heard somebody say, hey, that's a good point. And I turned and it was the guy from the parking lot. I said, oh, hey, what are you doing here? He's like, I wanted to be in this joke. I said, you can be in it, but it didn't do much better than the first joke you were in. He's like, all right, yeah. Is it me? I'm like, yeah, I think it's you. It's not me.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Black Street. FUBAR Radio was off the chain. We had a great time speaking to everybody. We felt like we were home in there. They calling us legends throughout the whole show.
Right. And they're funny. Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
That's everything from this 800 Pound Gorilla episode. Don't miss out the next one, always on FUBAR Radio.
That was Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.